Okay, tonight we've got a local author with us. She's been on the show a couple of times now, and it's lovely to welcome you back, Philippa Hawley. Welcome back to Writer's Block.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
It's lovely to have you back. Right, the subject of short stories came up last week when Hannah Reid was here talking about her reviews for the month, and again during the week. So Philippa and I thought this week we'd discuss short stories, and first of all, I went online to get the Oxford English Dictionary's definition of a short story, because there's a lot of different opinions, I'd say, about what a short story is. It can be all kinds of things, but I thought if I just get the OED's version of it and read that out, and then we'll go from there. So, the Oxford English Dictionary's definition of a short story: a fictional prose tale of no specific length but too short to be published as a volume on its own, as novellas sometimes and novels usually. A short story will normally concentrate on a single event with only one or two characters, possibly, more economically than a novel's sustained exploration of social background. Now, we've been talking about short stories. We met up again last week and had a proper natter about, you know, what goes into a short story, how long a short story is. That probably is the main thing. How long is a short story? So what's your take on short stories, Philippa?
Well, I realise that short stories in today's world can be anything from 6 words long in ultra flash, micro flash.
Oh, yes, micro.
Through flash fiction, which can be anything from 75 to maybe 200, 250 words, 500 words, but actually even up to 10,000 words can be regarded as a short story in competitions, I've noticed.
10,000 words for a short story,
that's
yeah.
A short story to my,
it's a long short story.
Writing, I have to say, that's a very long, that's a novello to me, but
yes.
Apparently some of the competitions do go up to 10,000.
It's a tricky one, actually, I think, and as I say, whatever the OED says, I guess, is correct, but, you know, we'll have to play around with what's involved to make a short story.
I think because these days so many short stories appear online rather than in print, that probably gives us more facility for variation in length.
And also, for instance, on Twitter, as you said earlier about the 6-word stories, there's often, you know, hashtag 6-word story and lots of other types of very, very short stories, even maybe a 50-word story, which sounds quite long compared to 6 words.
Yeah.
But because on Twitter you're restricted to just 140, I think, characters, then you really are using just the bare bones of what's needed and what's involved to get across what you're trying to say, and that is quite a feat, isn't it?
So this concept of a story having a beginning, a middle and an end, which is what perhaps we've always thought of as stories, that's hard to get in a really short word count, isn't it?
Yes, and I mean, there's no room for backstory or anything like that in there, is there?
No.
Potentially you might be able to drop in a couple of bits to give maybe a reader an idea of what the character did or has done, but essentially it's the bare bones and nothing else.
And this concept that every word counts.
Yes, oh my gosh.
The shorter the story, the more that's relevant.
And you know, that's also really important when it comes to, for instance, copywriting, because words are very weighty. Certain words are weightier than other words. So if you're using a really powerful word, it can say a lot more than, you know, a couple of non-powerful words. So, yeah, it's very interesting, isn't it? We're going to... Okay, you're back with me, Sarah Bannum, with Writer's Block. Now, my guest this evening is Philippa Hawley, and we are chatting about the short story. We're also going to be talking perhaps a little bit about blogs as well, but essentially the tonight's show's theme is the short story. You know, if you have anything you'd like to contribute to tonight's show, you can do so via the show's Facebook page, Writer's Block Local Radio Show, or via my Twitter feed, at SJBWrites. So, Philippa, I already asked you a question beforehand. So, when it comes to reading, are you drawn to a short story rather than a novel?
No.
Oh, okay.
Fairly definite answer there. I really haven't read an awful lot of short stories until recently, but I've just started to think of short stories as an entity in their own right, and so I've started to read more short stories in the hope that it will improve my writing of short stories.
Oh, okay. Yes. I mentioned earlier on about the idea of writing short stories using social media, Twitter particularly, because you're restricted on word count and character count. So do you think when you're when you're writing a short story, do you think that comes into it? Do you think you are very aware of the length, or do you just write and see what the story is about first?
I think I'm very aware of the length. Most of the stories that I write start in one of my writing groups, and we tend to sort of set each other little tasks and homeworks and give each other prompts. And because there are maybe half a dozen of us, we limit ourselves to 500 words most of the time. So that seems to be my average word count. But now I'm doing a few more of them. I'm doing some of the shorter flashes online and going down. I don't go up in number quite as easily. That turns into a novel if you're not careful.
Yes. I love the way you say that, because writing a novel is so incredibly easy, isn't it? But if the planets are aligned, I suppose, but also if you've got something you want to say and you want to focus on a very interesting character's backstory, you know, you're gone then, aren't you?
Yes.
You start writing and
I think if you've got too many ideas and too many characters in a short story, you know, sometimes you say to yourself, well, is this really potentially a novel? You know, the two are very separate things, I think.
I was reading one of the I think it was an article in the Writing magazine earlier in the week, might have been last week, and it was an old issue, very old, probably several years old now, and it said that when you're editing a novel and you're cutting lots of things out, including characters and their own backstories, you can, rather than get rid of those completely, you can actually make those into a short story.
Oh, yes, I know, and people who do
it's
that.
So good, isn't
yes,
it? I mean,
yes.
It's something I knew but completely forgot over the years, because some characters they don't fit where you want them to go, but you
love
them.
Yeah, so you want to do something with them.
You don't want to get rid of them, because you've created this person with a backstory that you feel is a real living human. So why would you get shot of that when you can reuse that? But it's nice. It's lovely.
Well, people always say don't throw anything away. Sort of save everything, because one day it might come in useful for another project.
Here's another one then. When writing, do you know instantly that you're writing a short story rather than a novel?
Yes, I think I would set out in a completely different way. I mean, it makes it sound as if I've done millions of novels. I've written three novels, and I do hope to do another one, start another one towards the end of the year. But to write a novel, you need to really give yourself a lot of space and a lot of time. And the joy of a short story is you can knock them off fairly quickly. Not that they're publishable or readable by others quickly, but then you can re-edit, revisit them, and you can do them in little short bursts.
That's actually quite fun. That becomes, as you said about your writing groups, that you end up, creating short stories from there. But these sort of short bursts of inspiration, you can get hold of a character or a setting or a plot really quite quickly, and once you've got it, you just want to play around with it, see where it's going to go, but you don't know whether that's going to be much more. I mean, you could actually write a very short story, a 500 word jobby, and then read it out and think, that's got legs, that could be a lot bigger.
Yes.
But you never know these things until you've started writing them.
But just the process of writing the short story is an exercise much of the time. And I think I probably use it just to keep myself ticking over. You know, they say it's exercising your writing muscles,
yes,
don't they? I mean, being very clichéd there. But, it's practicing. They're practice pieces very often.
Yeah, it's good fun, actually. Whatever, whether it's short story or a novella, flash fiction or an actual novel, whatever it is, they're always... Well, hopefully they're always good fun. If they're not, then something's gone wrong somewhere.
Well, I think that's what makes you start to think you're a writer, if you do find it fun.
Fun?
It's not about success, it's about enjoying it.
Yes, and making sure you've done what you need to do.
At least, I mean, I'm fortunate that, in my situation, it's not about making money and being rich and famous. It is about enjoying it.
And having fun, yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant, excellent stuff. Right, the final countdown, that seems... quite apt, doesn't it, when you consider both Philippa and I are going to be reading things now. Don't freak out, that's we're okay. Honest, we're totally on top of it, you can tell, can't you? My guest this evening on Writer's Block is Philippa Hawley, and we're talking about short stories and reading some short stories in this section of the show. So I'm going to be really mean and say to you, Philippa, would you like to start and put some context around it and tell us about the piece you're going to read and how long it is?
Right. Well, I've brought you a 500-word short story called Mrs. Rose's Roses. And it fits quite nicely into that little advert you did for the HQ HarperCollins competition, because it features a 60-something-year-old lady.
Right.
Mrs. Rosa. So, here we go. Mr. Ortser spoke as if addressing a committee, not just one tired, albeit elegant, older woman. Mrs. Rosa, before I ask my assistant to come in and witness our signatures on this contract, shall we just confirm our reasoning and the details? If we must, Mrs. Rosa replied. She sighed, thinking how horrified her late husband would be. Quite simply, your rose-growing company is failing and about to go into receivership. You need investment fast. My rice import company is thriving, and I'd like to invest in a new project, he announced. And you need your only child, an unattractive little man, to marry and produce an heir to continue the family line, Mrs. Rosa said stiffly. I wouldn't put it quite like that. Zane is not handsome, but he is bright enough. However, your only daughter, Floribunda, is simple-minded, looking plainer than her name implies, but hopefully still fertile. She has no brain power with which to run your husband's deteriorating business without his expertise. When we seal this deal with their marriage, both our children will benefit as much as our businesses. I am concerned they didn't seem to hit it off when they met, and she's still young enough to find true love, Mrs. Rosa said, unconvincingly. She needs to get on with it if she wants children. I know they've only met the once, but they could make a decent couple. Arranged marriages can work. Just look at me and my dear wife. May she rest in peace. Don't back down now, Mrs. Rosa, not when we are so near. Being a bankrupt widow won't suit you. No, it won't, and I need to save my husband's roses. They were his greatest passion, she replied. And the best way to save them is to be the exclusive user of my special rose fertiliser, made from the ground husks of the best whole grain rice, full of minerals and antioxidants. With my name attached to your business, as the contract clearly states, your roses will be regarded as the finest in the land. I have no choice, Mrs. Rosa said. She straightened herself and gave him her most charming smile. My only remaining wish is to use our own perfect pink Floribunda rose petals as confetti at the wedding. But I've told Zane that in exactly 1 month's time at his nuptials we will throw rice as confetti and eat rice pudding as a dessert. Rice pudding flavoured with rose water, and it's a deal. Call your assistant before I change my mind, Mrs. Rosa snapped. Meanwhile, across town, Floribunda rolled out of Zane's bed and gathered her scattered clothes. Come back to bed, my beautiful flower, Zane pleaded. Oh, I'd love to, but Mother will be home soon, Floribunda replied. When shall we tell them about our love? After the wedding. We'll phone from our honeymoon. By then we'll be long gone. We'll tell them we shredded their contract and used it as confetti.
I love that. I love your names. Really? I mean, how did you grab those names?
Well, this was written from a prompt, and the prompt was counterfeit confetti.
Oh, okay.
So that's where I got confetti in. And I was thinking, what makes confetti rose petals? So we got Mrs. Rosa for the rose. And Ortser is a derivative of Oriza, which is another name for rice.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I had to look it up.
Okay.
Thank you. That's why we've got Mr. Ortser and Mrs. Rosa.
And you've got Floribunda.
And Floribunda, because that's a rose that I know the name of.
Right, I was going to say, because I know Flora obviously is flower, but yes. I didn't know that was as I said to you earlier, I'm not great with Flora and, you know, gardening and things. I know Zane is generally a man's name, but does that pertain to any... I feel like it might pertain to some... gardening aspect.
No, I don't think so. I just was looking for an Indian-y sounding name, because it's a rice importing company. Mr. Ortser Oriza is meant to be perhaps of Indian origin, and I was looking for an Indian surname an Indian Christian name that didn't sound ridiculously Indian and was modern and
quite exotic too.
And yes, and yeah. Just quite an interesting name, really.
So will you be doing anything? Is that one of the stories that...
No, this one's been and gone. It's
moved on. It's so yesterday.
I have got a couple of stories. One that's going to be published in an anthology next month, and a couple more that are still at the short list stage that may come through. But I didn't feel I could really read them because they're still
going through the process. Congratulations with that, by the way.
Thank you. I'm really delighted.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm delighted.
So whatever happens with them, come back and let us know, won't you?
Yes, I'd love to. Thank you.
Right. The one I was going to read out actually is in that little booklet just over there. Now, this is something that I'll read the shorter. Or the slightly longer of the two, actually. This is a story that I wrote for my writing group, and it's been published in the St. Osyth News. And this is regarding timed free writing. Now, loads of writing groups do this with the, you know, you've got maybe 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, and just grab a prompt, whatever that might be. It might even be something you thought about when you first woke up in the morning, but some prompt, and then you use that, and then you create, hopefully, a story from it. This is called Space Invaders, and this one is regarding it might come about as I think probably what I did was I thought, oh, I haven't got much time, so that's probably it was the essence of not much time. So, Space Invaders. They were ready. The departure wasn't the idea, the destination was. Zoe pressed the black button and waited for the engines to roar, just like they had done many times before. It was an old ship, used at least 20 times. It had evidence of wear and tear, but there was life left inside it, and it had character. There should have been a split second between pressing the button and engines coming to life, but today, nothing. Zoe's heart skipped a beat. Fergus stared, apprehension written all over his face. Captain? I know. She hadn't meant to growl, but his worrying wasn't going to help. Strength of character and being tough in all situations was the key to this mission, and Zoe had them both in spades. 10 seconds of nothingness passed when she pressed the button again. She didn't dare look at her first officer's face. She could imagine it already. Captain? Zoe gritted her teeth and let out a sigh. Fergus, I'm thinking, just wait a minute. Before she finished her sentence, the engines roared into life. They sounded even louder than ever before, somehow nearer. Fergus yelled, and into space we go! Just then, the sides of the ship parted. When Dad's finished mowing the lawn, Mum said, I want you two up at the table, ready for lunch. So again, that's that kind of, you know, you're taking the reader or the listener, I suppose, you're taking them somewhere, but they don't know where. They think they know where they're going. But yeah. When I was writing that, again, I had no clue. I thought, no, this is getting a bit too spacey. I don't want it to go into orbit.
And you brought them back to Earth.
I literally brought them back down to ground with a thump. But yeah, I mean, the couple of the people in the group that I run, they said, Honor, you must do something with that because it's fun. It's going to end up with something fun, but you just don't know where it's going. Yes. So, yeah, I mean, again, that's the sort of thing that you have to play around with a short story or microfiction. No, that's flash fiction, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you have another one you'd like to read?
I've got the other extreme now. So that first one I read was 500 words. So this is a 75-worder.
Excellent.
A little flash fiction. And it's called A Mossy Conundrum. And the prompt for this is that it had to include the words, the water dripped. So A Mossy Conundrum. Clumps of moss marked the otherwise clean white wall, like green icing round the bottom of a cake. No drip was ever witnessed from the garden tap, but the local plumber changed the washer just in case. He checked the nearby drains, but found no blockage. Inside the house, he checked the sink and the washing tub, but found no leaks. Still, the forest of moss flourished. Who knew at night, when the house slept, along came the Fawcett Fairy, riding her trusty toad. Then the water dripped from the tap, and with thirst satisfied, they slumbered on soft, mossy pillows.
Lovely. I love the riding the toad. Because I kind of think, oh, maybe it's a horse or something. But no, a toad, of course. It's a fairy.
I think we found a toad in the garden that day.
Was there a fairy riding it? My second one was, it's a lot shorter than the first. I think the first was 230 words. This one's about 150, maybe. This one's called The Exam. Intense it was. Fair, not so much. The timer was set and we picked up our pens. The exam was the make or break for us. My two buddies were destined to be doctors, but my confidence had dwindled over the past few months. Was this really necessary? When I was 5, I wanted to be a ballerina. Then I grew up and I feared that if you didn't take the exam and pass the exam to be a doctor, you'd have no options remaining. Doctor or homelessness. Those were my choices. The two positions continually chased each other, but it was a pointless endeavour for me. I hated that we had to vacate Earth a decade ago. At the writing group, I'd start these free writes with a stopwatch. So everyone's thinking, oh, I've got to quickly think of something. And so the pressure of the timing starts. And that's generally how I suppose start them. And it wasn't until I picked up those two that I realised I think of the pressure and then put that into the story. Yeah. And let the characters worry about what happens next. Sometimes it's great and it really works. And other times it just doesn't at all. It goes nowhere. So, yeah, who knows? But they're good fun, aren't they? Right, you're back with me, Sarah Banham, and Writer's Block, and my guest this evening is Philippa Hawley. We are still talking this last little bit of the show about short stories and the different sizes, actually, but I've got some pros and cons here as well. But we were just talking just off air a moment ago, and Philippa was asking who reads short stories, because it's not something that you purposely look for,
no,
is it?
No. And I wonder if it's only people who write short stories who really read them, especially some of these online ones. I think it's just writers going round and round in circles. And I just wonder if the rest of the world reads them.
It'd be interesting to find that out. I mean, it's obviously too soon for tonight's show to get any feedback on that. But for the future, it'd be nice to know who reads short stories. I do wonder if it's a commitment from the reader, whether they want something more to get their teeth into, or it could be from the other point of view. From my point of view, I would at the moment generally choose a short story over a novel, because my attention span isn't brilliant at the moment, so I know that I'm going to just grab hold of the information and keep with it, and also lack of time as well. I mentioned to you an anthology that I did a few years ago, and there's a story in there that's about 3,000 words long, and that's about right for a coffee break, I would say. It's sort of 15 minutes. I doubt if it would take any longer than that to read, unless you're an incredibly slow reader. But yeah, I mean, some of the pros and cons. So I've written down some pros here, and please add yours if you've got any, Philippa. One of the pros is get to the point or the crux of the story as soon as you possibly can with a short story. That is for both the reader and the writer, I would say. Another pro would be, as I just said, a reader's short attention span and also a reader's lack of time. Do you have any pros?
Yes, I mean, you just mentioned about coffee breaks. You know, short train journeys as well, another ideal thing for an anthology. And we were suggesting that maybe an anthology by the same person can be quite interesting, especially if it's an author who, and you've read their novels and you like their work, to read more of their work in a short story form can be quite interesting.
I mean, I've written anthologies before, and they've, as you said earlier, about they're generally for charities, but I will be in the future publishing a collection rather than an anthology. I don't know if there's much difference between the two,
yes,
perhaps.
That's an interesting thought, isn't it? Yeah. A collection sounds more like a poetry to me.
Oh, do you think? Oh, right, that's interesting. I'll look into that, actually, because there's... Oh, yes, there are poems in there, funnily enough. But an anthology is generally a collection of short stories or poems, isn't it?
Yeah.
So calling it a collection is just a difference in wording, maybe.
I mean, the other interesting thing from a writer's point of view is I find short stories quite useful to try out different genres, because otherwise you can find yourself always writing the same sort of thing, same old.
Right.
Oh, Philippa always writes nicey nice, somebody said once.
Oh, really?
And so I then tried to write a few more dark
yes.
stories.
And using them in it.
Yeah.
That's a good prompt. No, I tend not to have that issue with writing the same all the time. Having me stick to a genre is quite a feat. Some cons here of short stories. One of them is stories too big to cram into a short story, but too small for a novel. Is that awkward? You know, it's too big for this and too small for that.
And this term novella is quite tricky, because I don't getting a novella published I believe is very, very difficult.
Yes.
Because the publishers don't know where it fits either.
No, so...
between size.
Generally speaking, and this is not always the case, obviously, but a lot of novellas, unless they're sort of Victorian type things, but a lot of novellas are generally independently published.
Yeah.
Because, you know... Hannah, who was on the show last week, was reviewing a short story, and it was, you know, they had self-published it, but it was a very good, yeah, you know, self-publishing endeavour. So I think you have to, from the writer's point of view, take it upon yourself to work out, is there mileage in this, or is it just feeding my ego? You know, it's just one of those, you know, really strip it right back. We've still got just a couple more minutes. The other cons I've written down are pacing feels crammed or loose or both, and to the reader and to the writer. So again, with pacing with a short story, if you're trying to grab everything and just shove it all in that little hole, or if you need to make it into a much bigger story and not think about the shorter one quite so much. It's tricky. You won't necessarily know that until you've written it. The last one I'd written down was unable to fully investigate characters' backstories or development, or even the story plot, if it's meant to be a bigger story and you're trying to make it into a short story.
Yes. Yeah. So certainly, said in writing groups, I've heard people comment that if you put too much into a short story, you queer the pitch. Really, people don't know whether they're coming or going. So you've either got to cut it right back or turn it into something longer.
It's very tricky, isn't it, this writing lark? Right, well, I think we've reached the end of the show. Thank you so much, Philippa, for coming back on this evening.
Well, thank you. It's been great talking to you again.
And we'll certainly have to do this again, because it's it's an hour long and we've managed to get loads in and read two of our stories each. So that's pretty good going. So you will come back on, won't you?
I would love to. Thank you.